Well, it's great to be with you here today to share God's word with you. And if you're taking message notes, the title of my message is Overcoming Weariness. And so I want to begin today by asking you the question, how are you? How are you doing in all senses of the word? I'm asking because I think life's been pretty tough. Since COVID hit almost 18 months ago, we can say that life has been pretty challenging, to say the least. When we had COVID hit, most of us heard one of the key messages was that we needed to be agile and that we needed to pivot. And 18 months in, we are still pivoting and we're still being agile, but I think it's starting to wear a little thin. In one sense, I feel like COVID is always the same, is always coming up in conversation. You turn on the news and you hear about COVID-19. You catch up with friends and family and inevitably the conversation turns to COVID. There's no getting away from it all. And we're living with this constant flux. We're either in lockdown or out of lockdown, working from home or working from the office, masks on, masks off. Do we get the AstraZeneca's jab? No, yes. Like everything's always constantly moving. And the reality is it can get pretty tiring and pretty wearing. And so unfortunately, we do not know when we're going to get through the other side of this challenge. We do not know what other challenges lie ahead for us. And so when I talk to people, I'm really sensing that people are just quite tired and weary. And it's important that we check on each other and we check our well-being. For some of us, it's not just one big thing. It's multiple things now that are adding up. Apart from COVID, it's also dealing with normal day stuff like parenting, marriage, money problems, maybe experiencing a loss or a disappointment, relationships and fears that we may have. All these things can add up and affect our overall well-being. And because of this, it's important that we check on each other and we check how we're actually doing. Checking on our well-being is key. And my concern is if we don't deal with any tiredness or weariness or fatigue, that it can have some pretty major consequences. And so I want to give you a practical example of that. And I've invited my well-trusted colleague, Jimmy Day, and friend, into the studio.
Hi, Sandra.
Hello, Jimmy. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. I'm very grateful that you've come into the studio today.
Oh, that's all right. Happy to help.
Thank you. Now, before I do this little experiment, there's a little disclaimer. First of all, I do not condone violence. Second of all, I do not condone little kids actually putting this into action. This is just purely for an experimentation to prove a point. So, Jimmy.
Yep.
I want to ask you the question. If we were... I just now want you to use your imagination.
Okay.
So if I was having a conversation with you and all of a sudden decided to punch you in the face and you went down, what would be your first immediate response to that situation and what would you do?
Look, I think shock would be the initial response, come out of nowhere, but I'd get straight back up. Like, I'm not staying down. I'm getting straight back up.
Sure. Okay, so the minute you got straight back up and you're ready just to, you know, maybe question me, but I punched you in the face again and you went down, what would you do and how would you feel?
Look, that's probably starting to trigger some anger and some rage going, like, what's going on? And so I'm getting straight back up again.
Okay, sure. And the minute you did and I punched you in the face again and you went right down, what would you do and how would you feel?
It'd probably just make me angrier,
yeah. To be honest.
Fair enough.
And look, at this point, I'm probably still thinking, right, I'm getting up, I'm going to fight back, I'm going to respond in some way.
Yeah, sure. So all that fight's still in mm-hmm. you and you get back up on your feet and the minute you do, I punch you in the face and you go down again. Now what do you do and how do you feel?
Look, the anger's still there, but there's probably a part of me that's like, look, if this isn't going to change, just stay down.
Protect yourself.
Just stay down until, you know, you were to leave. And then, yep. You know, I know I'm safe, so I can get up. So I'm angry and wanting to, but then there's probably a part of me that just wants to curl up and go, right, protect yourself.
Yeah.
Don't cause yourself any more harm and deal with it that way.
So this last time you would just stay down and you would just wait?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not one to run away. And I mean, if you've been punched in the face a few times, you're probably not in a real good way to run away. So
yeah.
I'd probably just stay down until you left so I was safe.
Well, hopefully I do leave. So that example is just to give you an insight that when we face battles, we go through a range of emotions. Like Jimmy explained, we can feel shock and then anger. But if things keep repeating themselves, ultimately we get to a place where we stay down and you know, we obviously trying to work out how to get through that. Thanks, Jimmy, for coming into the studio.
Thanks, Sandra. Thanks for having me.
No problem. So we may stay down, but potentially the risk is also that we not only don't know how to move forward, we're trying to work out what do we do. And sometimes the drive isn't there. In Jimmy's case, he had the drive that he wanted to keep going, but sometimes the drive's not there. We just have had enough. Being weary is an inevitable part of the human life. It's not a lack of faith if we experience it. There are plenty of people in the Bible that experienced weariness. I want you to think about people like Joseph, Moses, and Elijah. Joseph, you know, had a comfortable existence until his brothers decided to sell him into slavery. And as he lived as a slave for many years, he was then accused of adultery by his master and thrown into prison. And if that wasn't enough, every attempt of trying to get out of prison was futile until God actually moved. Joseph had one knock after another, and there's no doubt that he would have experienced weariness. What about Moses? Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, heading them to the promised land. Now, that should have been a journey of 14 days, but instead it took 40 years. You cannot tell me this guy didn't experience weariness. Something that should have taken, you know, a few days didn't. And so I'm sure Moses would have had to work out how to overcome his weariness in that battle. And then we have Elijah. Elijah, you know, had this major showdown. Israel was turning away from God, and so he had this major confrontation with 800 prophets of Baal. And it was amazing. God showed up. These 800 prophets were no longer. But even though that happened, Israel still chose not to follow God. And that great disappointment was enough to really bring Elijah down, and he just had enough. And so, you know, there are plenty of examples in the Bible of people going through weary times. These are just a few. Then you have people like Paul, and you have the mother of Jesus, Mary. And anyone who lived in the first century church, that was a persecuted church, would have gone through weary times. And so we all have our battles and pressures and living through times that are quite difficult. Some of us face ongoing health battles, relationship battles, or financial battles. It can leave us bone tired and weary. So why is this a problem? It's a problem because it can lead to greater problems. One of the problems it can lead to is apathy. Apathy is having a lack of interest, enthusiasm, or concern. We start to not care about the things we used to care about. That's a major concern. Another thing that can happen is depression. Depression is having a depressed mood or loss of interest in activities, which causes significant impairment in daily life. And thirdly, it can lead to apostasy. Apostasy is the abandonment or renunciation of a religious, what can it also be, a political belief or principle. And the scary thing is that when we don't deal with weariness, we can turn away from faith and relationship with God. These are some significant issues that can result from weariness if we don't attend to it. Not treating our weariness can lead to emotional, psychological, and spiritual consequences. So we need to take it seriously. The fact is, we do live in an imperfect world, and we're going to have lots of trials and tribulations. And of course, we're going through one of those at the moment. Life isn't perfect. Pastor Rob's done a great series on human suffering at the moment and how God is still good. But we do have these situations, and we need to figure out ways to rise above the situation. Just like Jimmy was trying to explain, he wanted to wait to see how to rise above. And so we need to know what's at our disposal to come through these difficult times. And thankfully, as followers of Jesus, we are not alone. We have God on our side, and God is providing for us through these times. And so we need to look at what he provides and how we can engage with it. We also have a part to play in what God provides. So in these next couple of minutes, we're going to share about what those things are. Firstly, God provides compassion. When we're feeling weary, the last thing we need to hear is condemnation. And I'm going to tell you right now, God does not shame us or condemn us for feeling weary. He looks upon us with compassion. No matter what has happened or what has led us to where we are right now, we are first and foremost God's child, and he looks upon us and with such great compassion. Isaiah 49:13 says, "Shout for joy, you heavens, rejoice, you earth, burst into song, you mountains, for the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones." This scripture and others like it brings comfort that no matter what we go through, God's disposition towards us is one of compassion because we are his child. When we're tired and weary, we may feel like God's far away from us. We may not sense his presence as much. But despite that, we need to know that he's there for us. He is with us. And it's important to know that God wants to gather us like a hen wants to gather its chicks. You know, I recently in our family, my family, I've had two great nieces born in the last couple of years. And it's just been wonderful because babies are back in our family again. And I've watched when one of the babies have been so tired and exhausted and you know, crying and screaming. And I've watched how the parents respond. The parents' first immediate response is to try to soothe, is to try to settle that child, to hold close and to bring comfort. And I think it's such a great picture of how God deals with us when we're tired and exhausted and weary. He wants to gather us. He wants to soothe us. He wants to settle us. And I just think about God doing that for me when I'm feeling weary and him just holding me and saying, "It's going to be okay. It's going to be all right." What does it look like for you? What does compassion sound like for you? Sometimes we can be our very own harshest critic. God gives us compassion, but we don't know how to be compassionate towards ourselves. Are you hard on yourself? Are you always telling yourself you need to do better? Instead, we need to lean into God's compassion and we need to receive that for ourselves and give ourselves compassion. Maybe it's just being kind to yourself. Maybe it's taking a break. Maybe it's lowering your expectations. Maybe it's accepting that you've done the best you can in this moment. Receiving God's compassion helps us to be compassionate towards ourselves, but also being compassionate to others. Secondly, God provides rest. I mean, it should be pretty obvious when we're exhausted and weary, what we need is rest. And, you know, we need to know that God gives that to us. Elijah, exhausted from his battles, fled and sat under a tree and he wanted to die. Listen to his response. "I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." But then he sat down under the tree and he fell asleep. Have you ever felt like that? Felt like, okay, enough's enough, Lord. That's it. Take me now. I'm spent. I'm done. The solution is often we just need to rest, and God invites us to that place. In Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30, it says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, many years ago, because I oversee pastoral care in the life of this church, we were going through quite a number of quite heavy pastoral care issues and that I was dealing with. And I was feeling sort of towards the end of it really quite fatigued, like I had nothing much more to give out. And I realized in that moment that I needed to put the oxygen mask on myself first. You know, when you get on a plane, the air hostess usually tells you put on the oxygen mask first before attending to anyone else. So I did that. I took some couple of days off just to rest and to recover. And I've thought about, okay, what do I need to do to rest, to feel more refreshed? And so I took myself to see a chick flick at the movies. kind of strange thing to do, but because I was dealing with quite such heavy things, I felt like what I needed to do to balance things out was some lightheartedness. And it was great. It felt like a complete shift just to be able to laugh at something, something that was light and cheerful. And so we need to know, what does it take for us to properly rest? Now, that's just a quick example that I've given you, but rest is critical. It's a crucial part of our recovery. If you worked out in any fitness group before, the general encouragement is that, you know, rest is and recovery is a critical part of your routine because it helps us to recover better so we don't cause injuries. Rest helps the body to heal itself, and it increases performance and it decreases the potential for injury. And, you know, the same could be said for our mental and emotional well-being. This is the primary reason I believe that God instituted the Sabbath rest. God understands the importance of rest. And if God thought it was important to rest on the seventh day from his work, then we need to, and God needs it, then we need to do the same thing. We need to see that it's important as well. For me, resting is going for a walk on the beach and being immersed in nature. It's listening to birds. I love the sound of birds. It's having a beautiful meal in the company of friends that I love and appreciate and family. What does it look like for you? It could be going for a surf. It could be gardening. It could be reading a really good book or just allowing yourself to sleep in. Rest is going to look different for each and every one of us. But God gives us the permission to find out what that rest needs to look like and to take it. Rest improves our ability to make decisions and to discern what are the best next steps. And that's actually what Jimmy was trying to explain, you know, trying to work out what's the next best step rather than getting back up again. It's important when we are weary that we rest and that we don't make any major decisions in that time when we are tired. Thirdly, God provides strength. Now, it may shock you to know that as humans, we're limited. Yes, we are, and we're finite. And so, you know, that might be a big wow moment. Oh, wow, I didn't realize that. Only God is infinite and unlimited. And so, you know, it's not about taking extra spinach like Popeye used to encourage us. Popeye was a great tool for marketers to get kids to eat their greens, you know, and the more spinach you ate, the more strength you had. Now, I wish that was true. I wish we had unlimited amounts of strength if we just ate more spinach. But I'm sorry to say that's not necessarily going to be enough. Often I hear Christians say, well, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Almost as though they were giving them permission, they're giving themselves permission to do whatever they wanted and God would just back them up. A presumption for sure. The problem is that scripture is often taken out of context. The context of that scripture is Paul in Philippians 4 is talking about what it's like to live through different seasons of life, times of lack and times of plenty, times of good health and times of ill health. And he learnt through all that to live with contentment. And so in the context of that, he's saying that through no matter what season in life he goes through, he's learnt to draw grace and strength from God and to depend on that. And so that's a completely different take on that scripture of, you know, I can just do whatever I want and God's going to give me the strength for it. When we are weary, God wants us to acknowledge the state we're in and to lean on him. And often the burdens that we're carrying, God is just waiting for us to place those burdens on his big shoulders. Now, when I think about that, I think of a picture of a soldier carrying another soldier on their shoulders. And you'll see that picture on screen right now. It's such a beautiful picture. And I imagine God doing that for us when we're tired and weary. He's carrying us. You know, he's holding us. And so in Isaiah 40, verse 28 says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired and weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. God wants us to draw strength from him, and we can do this in a number of ways spiritually. We can do it by communing with God and telling him how we're feeling. by reading his word, by worshipping and praying. When we're in communion with God, we inevitably get his perspective on our situation. And often what can take place is that our time from God is the first thing to go in our schedule when we're weary, rather than the first place that we go to in our schedule. Meditating on scripture is key for drawing strength. So many times when I have found myself weary and tired and I've just opened the word and, you know, there's been a scripture that God has just given to me and it's just sustained me in that moment. You know, God wants us to eat from his word. When Elijah was exhausted and he woke up from his sleep, the Lord led him to eat food. And, you know, food is so critical to gaining energy, but not just physical food, but also spiritual food. And that is the word of God. And we need to not just have a quick protein shake of God's word. We need to sit down and partake of a hearty meal. And that could be three courses. We need to eat from his word so that it can sustain us. Whenever we choose to spend time in God's presence, contemplating his goodness, drawing from his word, worshipping and praying, those spiritual disciplines which are so critical for being spiritually strong, a divine exchange takes place. And God gives us the strength and the grace that we need in that moment. I love this scripture, Hebrews 4, verse 16, in the Passion Translation. It says, "So now we come freely and boldly," that's what God wants us to do, "to where love is enthroned, to receive mercy's kiss and discover the grace we urgently need to strengthen us in our time of weakness." That is what we find when we are weak and we come to God. And I encourage us to do that. Finally, God provides others when we are weary. One of the key ways of getting through weary times in our journey is others. Having support is vital, and God knows this. In Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 to 12, this is a very popular scripture at weddings, but can I say this is a scripture that is about life's journey. It says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them." None of us are meant to do life alone. Whether you're married or you're single, we need others. We need the support of friends and family and our church community. This is one of the reasons why I believe God so loves the church. The church is a company of people who are following Jesus and who are supporting each other on that journey. And so every point of connection that is provided in the church helps us to build friendships and relationships where we can support one another, where iron can sharpen iron, where we can spur each other on. Whether it's coming to a church gathering, whether it's connecting through our connect groups, whether it's serving together. These are all opportunities provided for us to be able to build each other and to keep each other strong. And it's as we invest in those times that we then discover how we can lean upon them. Throughout my history here at Bayside Church, you know, as I've invested my time in building relationships, you know, I could just see how God's provided in times that are tough. People who have rung me and encouraged me or sent me, told me they're praying for me or made me a meal. You know, not that I was expecting it, but that's what happens when we're part of a community. We're there for each other. And I've done the same for others as well. We call upon each other, we help each other, and it helps us to get through weary times. And at times we may also need help from others in the form of professionals, seeing a GP or a counsellor, psychologist, or seeing a financial advisor or a relationship counsellor. These can be all vital ways that God provides help when we face tough times. Let's not allow our pride or our expectations of what help needs to look like to stop us from taking those opportunities when they're available. Like the good old joke about the faithful pastor who found himself in the middle of the flood. As the waters rose, the local pastor kneels in prayer on the church porch, surrounded by water. One of his neighbours comes up the street in a canoe and he says, "Better get in, pastor, the waters are rising fast." "No," says the pastor, "I have faith in the Lord, he will save me." Still, the waters rise. Now the pastor is up on the balcony, wringing his hands in supplication when another guy zips up in a motorboat. Come on, pastor, we need to get you out of here. The bank is going to break any minute. Once again, the pastor is unmoved. I shall remain. The Lord will see me through. After a while, the riverbank breaks and the flood rushes over the church until the steeple remains above water. The pastor is up there clinging to the cross when a helicopter descends out of the clouds and a state trooper calls down to him through a megaphone. Grab the ladder, pastor. This is your last chance. Once again, the pastor insists the Lord will deliver him. And predictably, he drowns. A pious man, the pastor goes to heaven. After a while, he gets an interview with God and he asks the Almighty, Lord, I have unwavering faith in you. Why didn't you deliver me from the flood? God shakes his head. What did you want from me? I sent you two boats and a helicopter. So true. You know, have you had a canoe or a motorboat go past you and haven't taken up the offer as yet for whatever reason? Or have we been living life on our own and find ourselves isolated? God provides others for us to overcome weariness and fatigue, and we need to either ask for help or take up the offer of help that is provided. In summing up today, I just want to say that, you know, life, yes, is full of battles, and we're going to go through many of them in the course of our life. There are lots of ups and downs, and certainly we're going through that at the moment. But in all of this, God wants us to be able to endure and overcome when we are feeling weary. He's not leaving us to figure this out on our own. God is a God of provision, and he provides for us in times like this. He provides compassion. He provides rest. He provides strength, and he provides others, all to help us get through these times. And when we access what he provides, we find we will go from strength to strength, and we can help others to do the same. He encourages us also to not give up and to not lose hope. In Galatians 9:10, he says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers.